Help us, Holy Ghost. Amen. But I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. Today I'm going to minister from the secret place. From the secret place. Because we have to make up in our mind that we're going to remain in this secret place with God no matter what. Come hell or high water, He's going to bring us up, out of, and into every promise that He has made to us. Am I right about it? No matter what the situation looks like. And this is individually and collectively. You have to write that down. See, I'm not preaching. I'm not hooping. I'm not hollering. I'm pastoring this morning. Is that okay? I'm clearing up a lot of misconceptions that have gone throughout the church that have led the sheep astray. Is that all right? So I want to pastor and bring you back into the presence of the great shepherd who cares for you as an individual. So in this, we see the individual and the collective movement of God. And even as we celebrate the birth, amen, because anytime RCC has birthed a great work, now it must be developed. Amen. The birthing on last Sunday was just day one. The days ahead become the what? Stages of development or progression for this ministry. Amen. And so with that, we see that we've witnessed and we've stood in agreement with what? New assignments, the birthing of new assignments, and what? The shifting or the transitioning of old assignments. Am I right? And so you have to understand that this pertains to everyone, including you, that's connected to this house. Somebody ought to praise God for that. You're included in this transition and this great work of God. And so a release of this magnitude that impacts so many levels of leadership, the elders, Minister Jewel, already in California, preparing to what? Co-pastor the ministry in California. Deacons and lay members elevated to ministry head positions. You see, all of these levels that have been impacted through this release can only occur when one dwells in the secret place with God. So when you look at this, it's not our will. This is totally the divine and the perfect will of God for this house and this season of our ministry. So I just really want to remind everyone here and just release into the atmosphere that while we're decreeing and declaring, come on, with hands in the air, not my will, but your will be done, oh Lord, that the will of God for each of our lives individually and corporately can only be discovered when we dwell in a secret place with Him. This is a place, write this down, that's free from confusion. It's a place that's free from distraction. God cannot speak His will for our life when we are distracted day in and day out doing busy church work. Come on, tied into what? The spirit of social media. Can I say that? That 10-day fast, meat, sweets, and grease, that don't bother me because I don't indulge in it anyway. But what I did have to give up, come on, where those app users at? Where the Facebook? Where the Twitters? Where the ones at? Where you at? I said, let me take these 10 days and give up something that I was becoming borderline addicted to. How many of y'all drive in the car, grab your phone, and check your Facebook notifications? Raise your hand. It's a few of us. We're just going to be honest. That's borderline addicted. How about your text message? It's not only illegal, that's borderline addicted. And so during the 10-day fast, I cut off that Facebook and I was able to come back after the 10 days. And I was like, Lord, how am I going to get back in the groove of doing this, that, and another on Facebook? And so when you begin to look at it, you see that God will reveal His will for our life in a place that's free from distraction, free from the fear of the unknown. Can I say this? Free from the public opinions of others. Because that will hold us back from carrying out the will of God for our life. Do you think that we would have transitioned out of the Destiny Center and we would have stayed concerned about what people in Newport News is going to say and think? They're going to going to say and think what they want anyway. But for God to reveal and discover his will for this ministry and for our life, we had to enter into a secret place that was free from the opinions of others. And so what we saw last Sunday, what I decree we shall continue to see even in the days ahead, is simply the physical manifestation of what was already birthed or shifted in the spirit realm. And this takes place by someone who has entered into the secret place with God. Come on. Someone who's communing with him, reaping the benefits of, write this down, Matthew 7:7. Where it says, ask and it will be given unto you. Come on. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and that door shall be opened to you. Where? In the secret places with God. Come on. We don't have all the answers, but God does. Come on. Man cannot grant the desires of our heart, but God can. And so when there are things that we feel stuck in the earth realm that we know we're supposed to be performing and doing, it's because there's a secret place that we must first enter into. And inquire of God, what is it that you desire of me to do? Am I right about it? What is it that he desires to birth and develop through you in the earth realm? See, RCC is the corporate vision of the house. But what is, I have a question, and I want you to write down the answer. What is your individual vision that's wrapped up and tied into the corporate vision of this house? See, God is requiring more of Pastor Charlie and myself and this ministry. Therefore, God is requiring more of you. What is it that he desires to accomplish through you in the earth realm? Come on. Let me say, what is it that he's desiring if we have shifted and realigned some things in the ministry? What is it that he desires to shift or rearrange in your life? Because it's gotten stale or stagnant and soon to die if there is no movement in this arena. Think about that. Because there's a charge and there's a demand, and I decree there's an expectation that God has to each and every last one of us that's connected to this house to remain in a secret place with him so that he can download what strategic plans to carry out in the earth realm. The revelation and the will of God will continually flow in and through us here in the earth realm, taking us to a place that he desires us to go. Somebody shout, without stress, without strain, and without struggle. Just lift up your hands and say, I am prepared for where I need to go and what I need to accomplish in my secret place with you, God. Give my hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. I want to talk about this secret place for a little while. Because in the Old Testament, the secret place comes from the Hebrew word sefer. S-E-T-H-E-R. Sefer. Somebody say sefer. S-E-T-H-E-R. And this means to hide or be concealed. Amen? And so some translations, instead of safe secret place, it says shelter. Write that down. Covering or dwelling. Shelter, covering, or dwelling. And this immediately took me to 1 Corinthians 6:19, where it says, know ye not that your body is the temple, or what? The dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. Let me give you a hint. Wherever the Spirit of God dwells, let me say it, listen up. Wherever the Spirit of God dwells, there, right there, you can tap into your secret place. So people have been getting the secret place mixed up with a physical location, is what I'm trying to say. Where you running to? I'm running to my secret place. We've taken Matthew out of context and said, I'm going in, I'm into my prayer closet. And that's fine if that's the only place you can go to remove the distractions of the world. But when you deal with your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit, no matter where I am, when the Spirit of God is present on the inside of me, I can tap into my secret place right then and right there and get the peace of God that I need for my life and for my situation and for my circumstance. Anybody else with me? Right then and right there, I can get the power that I need. I can receive the protection that I need from my enemies right then and right there. I don't have to go a single day without it, amen? And neither do you. Just lift up your hands and realize that the Holy Spirit that dwells on the inside of you, at any given moment, you can ask what you will of the Father, and it can be done unto you. At any given moment, when you have your back up against the wall, you can knock on the door of God's heart, and He will open up the door, and He will get your back from up against the wall, and He will enter you into the full presence and power of God. How many of you been riding around in your car and all of a sudden you just tap into a secret place right there in the car? You in the break room on your break and all hell breaking loose around you, gossiping and backbiting, and all of a sudden you find yourself about to engage into that messy mess, and you know it's going to separate you from the presence of God, but because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, come on, you're able to quickly acknowledge the sin that you are about to enter into and be delivered and protected from all of the sin that's in the hell that's raging around you. That is a secret place experience. Go to Psalm 91. Come on, we're gonna stop running to a physical location. Come on, our body is that temple. We don't have to pitch a tent or build a tabernacle anymore. We carry the tabernacle of God with us everywhere we go. Go to Psalm 91. Psalm 91 references the safety of abiding in the presence of God. Jot this down. Abide means to remain. Underline that, in a place with God. Abide means to remain. So, saints, I'm not talking about a place where we go in and come out. Go in and come out. Go up and come down. Go in and come out. I'm referring to a secret place that we can tap into and rest and remain there 24 hours, 7 days a week. Anybody interested in that place? Anybody tired of coming in and going out? Anybody tired of being at a place of peace and then somebody say something and boom, all of a sudden you're so frustrated you can't even think straight? Anybody tired of that but want to dwell in a secret place with God 24/7? So here we look at this in Psalm 91, the reference of the secret place. Let's see. Ready? Verse 1. It says, he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide, somebody say remain there, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Let me say it again. Shall remain under the shadow of the Almighty. See, in the Old Testament, back in Exodus 13:21, 24/7, God led the children of Israel, come on, by a pillar of cloud by day. He didn't lead them at night because at night he led them by a pillar of fire so that they could see their way. But how many of you know that when the shadow, when the hand of God is over our life, wherever we go, whatever we do, his hand of protection, his hand of grace, his hand of mercy, come on, is shielding us, is protecting us from all the works of the enemy. 24/7. Some of us can't explain how we were protected from some of the attacks and the attempts of Satan over our life. But all we know is that we were what? Dwelling in a secret place, and the shadow of the hand of God was over our life. And for some reason, God saw fit to shelter and protect us and to keep us out of harm's way. That goes to show you that we have been dwelling and remaining in a secret place and not even knowing it. So now the light and the revelation of God's word will go to show us we don't have to go run to a physical place and ask for God's protection. But when and wherever we go, we know that the shadow of God's hand is protecting us. Can I say this? I'm just hearing some things real quick. Shadows have a way of shielding us from the sun, from the heat and the pressures and the stresses of life. So as long as we stay up under the shadow or the hand of God, that's how people look at you and don't think you go through anything. They say, you're so cool, you're so calm, you're so collected. Baby, that's because I am under the shadow of the Most High God. And I'll never look like the hell that I go through. I'll never sweat. You'll never see me burning up with anger. You'll never see me hot with rage, even though we have reasons to be. Somebody say, thank you, God, for your shadow that I dwell up under 24/7. I said that the cloud covered the Israelites all during the day. And the pillar of fire took over the night shift. That's what the secret place anointing will do. It'll never leave you exposed. It'll never leave you open prey to the enemy. But somebody say, I have to remain there. It just reassures us that we're in the master's hand. And nothing is beyond his reach or his ability to handle or control in our lives. Isn't that reassuring? Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. My God. Somebody shout, my God. My God, in him I will trust. Anybody had that my God moment? Folks say, you can't do this. You can't get that. You be like, but my God. They say, I don't know. We can't seem to get this to go through for you. And you be like, but my God. Come on, you get that doctor's report. And they say, you need to come back in next week for a repeat. And you be like, okay, but my God. You look at your checkbook and it's at zero and you be like, I need some things that I need to do this week. And you say, it says zero, but my God. They call you back with the health report and be like, oh, we see something. You be like, okay, I hear you, but my God. Somebody done had a but my God moment. Think about your but my God moment. And the same way he brought you out and carried you through then, he's going to bring you out and carry you through now. So there's nothing that's outside of his ability or his control to handle in your life. I don't care what it is. Somebody say, but my God. It says, my God, in him I will trust. The Lord says, because he has set his love upon me, God loves us, saints. Therefore, I will deliver him. Let's keep reading. I will set him on high. These are things that benefit us dwelling in the secret place. He says, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows my name. Jump to verse 15. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Listen to this. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So this song speaks of divine protection, salvation, deliverance, satisfaction, honor, and elevation that accompanies us as we dwell or live in this secret place with the Most High God. Amen. So we dwell in this secret place with God in order to discover what it is that he sees from a high place concerning us. Come on. It causes us to see, to think, and to operate at a higher level. Am I right about it? So we see natural is at this level, but supernatural is at this level. We see ordinary is at this level, but extraordinary is at this level. We are not called to be natural or ordinary people. We are called to be extraordinary, supernatural men and women of God. And we're not going to operate in the natural and the ordinary by doing so. Amen? But we have to be able to tap into a higher level, a higher place where God sits on his throne and already has what? The perfect will for our lives already etched out. It's just up to us to ask, to seek, and to knock and discover what is it that you desire me to accomplish in the earth realm. So that your will might be what? Fulfilled in the earth realm as it is in heaven. So when we look at Psalm, let's look at Psalm 27. Let's go to another Psalm dealing with the secret place. Amen. Let's go there. Let's go there. Come on. In this secret place, dwelling and remaining there 24/7, not coming in and going out, but staying in this place of peace, power, and protection. Come on. So Psalm 27:5 says, "For in the time of trouble," somebody say, whenever, wherever that may be, "in that time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle," come on, the place where God dwells, "in that secret place where he dwells, he shall hide me and he shall set me high upon a rock." Once again, we see that the psalmist is not referring to a what? Physical pavilion or a physical tabernacle, is he? He's referring to the secret place, jot this down, as a place of peace, power, protection, and provision. Peace, power, protection, and provision that God grants in the midst of our trials and tribulations and attacks of the enemy. This secret place becomes a, somebody write this down, please, a permanent place of residence for the believer. That's what this secret place becomes, a permanent place of residence for the believer. Do I live at 104 Pickett? Yeah, I live there in the natural. But in the supernatural, I reside in the secret place with God. Come on, where we're not moved by what we see and what we hear. This secret place is a state of spiritual rest. Somebody say, rest, Lord. That prevails regardless of outward situations or circumstances. We see that even in Mark. Let's look at this. Let's just talk about Mark 4 and 35. You know the story. Jesus sleep on the ship. Come on. Where was he? It looked like I'm sleeping, but I'm in my secret place with God. I'm open to hear and to receive what it is that he has for me. So Jesus on the board that the ship sleep, and there arose a great storm. Come on, wind blowing, rocking and knocking the ship, and he not concerned one bit because he knew he was protected in that secret place. Am I right about it? Come on, but the other ones on the ship, they become so fearful that they go and wake Jesus up out of his secret place and says, "Jesus, Jesus, care thou not that we perish?" And because Jesus is in a secret place, and not only is he in a secret place, he is the secret place. He is the place of peace. He is the place of power. He was the walking place of protection. Come on. He shielded and he protected the people from the what? From the demonic spirits that were operating in the earth realm. So in the natural, he was that secret place. So what? When we as believers receive him into our heart and his Holy Spirit into our life, we become that secret place of God. And so no matter what hell was breaking loose on the sea, Jesus arises from his secret place and he goes and he what? He rebukes the wind and he just says three simple words, "Peace, be still." So I ask you, what's raging in your life? What's frustrating your spirit? What's instilling fear, making you think you're going to perish, that you're not going to make it? Three powerful words. Go ahead and shout them. Peace, be still. So this secret place. Come on, let's just sit there for a minute. Peace be still. Come on, even though you see people going under all around you. Yeah, yeah. And it begins to bring and instill doubt and fear in your mind. The mind of Christ, let this, Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ was not to go in and tap into the fear of the other people. It was to come into the arena and establish the peace and the order of God so that even the fear that's on their life won't what? Perpetrate or penetrate his life. So he becomes that one, let me say this, that was operating at that higher place. And so is it okay for us as believers to walk into situations and we see chaos, we see confusion, we see hell rising to the surface? Is it okay to come in as Jesus did and command, peace be still, stop the nonsense, stop the foolishness, stop the fear, stop the anxiety, stop the caring and the concern? When we dwell in this secret place with God, it comes natural to us. It comes natural to us. Amen? And so in this secret place, somebody just shout, the secret place. Want to deal with a couple of areas, and we're going to be out of here, because the secret place is a critical place for anyone who desires to advance and prosper in the things of God with the peace of God. Yeah, we can all get married, but how many of us can encounter the secret place and experience the peace of God in our marriage? Do I need to say that again? Anybody can get married, but it takes an anointed vessel to experience the peace of God in the midst of that marriage. Amen? So even in our marriage, jot down Amos 3 and 3. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? The answer is no. No, two cannot walk together unless they be agreed. And there are certain feelings. Can I say this? Can I just be transparent? There are certain feelings, attitudes, and pains of the past that even though you're married to a spouse, only God can deal with it. Married people, you ought to say amen. Some of them husbands like, I know that's right. We want the husband to fix it. Fix it. Fix it. He can't fix it. Only God can fix it. I said only God can fix it. Let me tell you something. Pastor Charlie would tell me in a heartbeat, Deacon Bruce, Deacon Claudia, he said, you need to go into your secret place. Because usually when I go in my secret place, I come out with some miraculous encounter. So when I start messing with him, mother, he said, you need to go in your secret place and come out with one of those miraculous encounters so you can leave me alone. And so in this secret place, I say that because I already mentioned that David had to acknowledge his sin. Let me say this. You see your weaknesses. Mary P., raise your hand. Yeah. You see your strength. Raise your hand. Don't put them down. Look at your spouse and repeat after me. My spouse sees my weaknesses. I see my strengths. My spouse sees my weaknesses. Now put your hand down. So if the two have become one and our spouse come to us and mention a weakness that we have, why is it that we get so mad that we can go 2-3 days without talking to them? When all he or she is doing is telling you what they see in themselves that need a little bit of tweaking and modification. We're going to change the way we acting now. I'm the feminine side of Pastor Charlie, so when he sees something in me that's weak or timid or need tweaking, he simply sees something in his feminine nature that ain't all the way right yet. And vice versa with my masculine. When I come in his presence, I see something needs tweaking. It's just that I see something in the masculine side of me that is a little bit on the edge. Y'all know what I'm talking about. A little bit out of alignment. We are talking about the birthing, but we're also talking about the shifting and the realigning. But why is it that we don't want to shift and realign our attitudes, our personalities, the words that we're speaking? I'm not going to stay that long. I know. So I said, keep on going, Pastor. I already went out there. But I got to jump to my next point. I got to jump, Spence. I got to jump. Karen want to run up there with you and say, baby, I'm sorry. I know. Let's keep going. But it's real, because the first couple times, when Pastor Charlie brought some things to my attention, I'm not going to lie, it hurt me like hell. I was like, really? How dare you? I thought we were, you know, good. Well, we are good. That's why. That's why he will bring the weaknesses to my attention, so that we can, what, not just remain good, but become better at who we are in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to get there with the children, but let me just drop this nugget real quick. So biological sons and daughters, spiritual sons and daughters, you have to have that same mentality, because you might be single in this room. You might not have a husband or a wife to bring your weaknesses to your attention. But guess what? Your spiritual mother and father love you so much. We love you so much that when we pull you aside, see, I'm pastoring. I just feel the need to say this, amen? Because we love you so much that, listen up, when we pull you aside, it's not to hurt you. It's not. Do you think any shepherd would harm his sheep? I don't think so. But a shepherd's goal and objective is to always shelter and protect the sheep. And when you're dwelling in your secret place with God, it shouldn't become a surprise to you that your covering, your shelter, your protection will pull you aside and say, honey, you shouldn't be saying or doing or acting like that. Single ladies, single gentlemen, we love you that much. Amen? Amen. I just dropped that nugget. So now we look at being able to prosper even in this secret place in the arena of our finances. Jot that down. Finances. Okay, only God can give you the peace. Give us the peace we need. Watch this. Write this down. To make the sacrifices necessary to produce our harvest. And guess where these sacrifices are discovered? In the secret place with God. Asking him, what is it that I need to sacrifice to what? Reap the harvest. Hebrews 12:11 is simple. It says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time. It's painful. But later on, it produces a harvest of what? Righteousness and peace. Righteousness and peace. Do you think sacrificing the Destiny Center felt good on day one? Come on, space galore. Somebody say, ouch. And go to a school and we don't have every Saturday anymore. Somebody say, ouch. Come on, that was a sacrifice. But now the discipline that's required to come in early and to leave late, you see, the sacrifice comes with a discipline that's required. But guess what? We've already experienced the peace of God. Because guess what? It's still preparing us for a greater harvest of souls. And we've already tapped into an 11-passenger vehicle to go pick up and take these souls back home. Anybody in need of a financial breakthrough, just raise your hand. I just want to speak to you prophetically. That thing that you need to sacrifice, that you feel is a necessity in your life, you can live without it. But in order to tap into the harvest of peace that God has for you, put your hand down, you're gonna have to give it up. And I guarantee you that God will give you 10 times better and greater than what it is that you cut loose and sacrifice. With this sacrifice in our finances, God says, give up something that's not healthy for you any longer and move forward. And how many of us have sacrificed things and then a day or two later, we look back and we start worrying about that house we lost or that house we gave up? The house we turn back in, the car we turn back in, and we give it up, but then we turn around and want to start looking at it, talking about it. Come on, then we want to start crying and mourning over it. Come on, Lot's wife turned into a pillar of salt when the angels of the Lord warned them, escape for your life. Why are you escaping? Because what you're trying to hold on to is not healthy for you. It's killing you at the very core of your spirit. It's killing. It's suffocating. It's depleting you of your resources that you need for the kingdom of God and the what? The will and the vision of God for your life. It's being sucked up. It's being dried up into something that's unhealthy for you. So when she looked back at Sodom and Gomorrah, she turned into a pillar of salt because they said, escape for your life and do not look behind you. Don't stay anywhere in the valley. That means don't even try to keep a part of it in your mind, in your heart. Escape it all. And it says, listen to this in this text in Genesis 19:26. It says, escape to the mountain, which is a higher place of thinking, a higher place of rejoicing, a higher place of celebrating what God has in store for you because of your sacrifice. Whenever you're in a place, this is just dealing with finances, where you bring in income or revenue and you can't return the tithe, give an offering of thanks, and sow a seed. Come on, a seed is like an investment into your future. Amen. When you sow into RCC, you're investing in the future of RCC. But in your secret place with God, he should be giving you strategic download of your individual vision. Can I say this? So some people get frustrated sowing into the corporate vision because no one has taught them how to take a seed and now sow into your personal or individual vision. So now instead of them growing together, come on. Come on, come on. Why? Because 2 Corinthians 9 and 10 says what? He gives seed to the sower, first of all. Then he gives bread to eat. So my point is, if you can't sow into the third level and invest into your corporate and individual vision, come on, because you have eaten all the seed, you've operated out of order according to the will of God. And so in order to sow into your individual vision, what I was saying is they grow together. But oftentimes we eat the seed, come on, and we see the corporate vision flourishing and prospering, and then we get disgruntled or frustrated, or we start getting jealous over what we see elevating or rising in the corporate house because our individual vision has no seed because we've eaten it all. So if we don't have the return of the tithe, the offering of thanks, and the seed to sow into our corporate and individual vision, then we are displeasing and we're in a dangerous place with God. And so in this secret place, God will show us you are eating all of your seed and you have nothing to sow. When you're supposed to sow your seed and then eat the bread, God will show you there are some things that you need to get rid of. There are some things that we need to sacrifice, amen, for the sake of what? Producing a harvest. Somebody say of peace and righteousness, amen. Amen. Just lift your hands. I want to take a minute here. Yeah, I have to say this. It's in my spirit. Whenever we eat all of our seed and we don't sow it, we're not able to invest into our future. And when we're not able to invest into our future, we're not able to bless the future generations that are coming behind us. And this is displeasing to the heart of God. And what we have to do first and foremost is repent and say, Lord, forgive us. And then we purpose in our heart to sow these seeds that he has intended for us to sow. This is an investment. Mm-hmm. I hear you, Holy Spirit. We come to church, we hear the word of the Lord, we leave out, and we still find ourselves comfortable with not investing. I'm not going to ask, but if I was to ask, how many investors do we have in this room? not many of us would be standing. But you know in your heart whether or not you are investing on a month-to-month basis. And if you're not, take a moment and ask God to forgive you. Because this is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying. I'm preaching about eating the seed, but many of us sitting here are culprits acting against the word of the Lord. We're eating our seed on a month-to-month basis. At the end of the year, I hear it, we have nothing to show for it. In your secret place with the Lord, which is right here and right now, just ask the Lord to show you the places that you can sacrifice and give up in your life. So that the first thing you can do when you receive your revenue is return the tithe, offer of thanks, and invest into your future. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of us are serious about the word? Now, you might not be the culprit, but I guarantee you there are some in here that's going to have to go and look at that budget and cancel out some things so that they can stop eating the seed and begin to sow and plant into the ground. Amen. Let's look at 1 Kings 3 and 7. Can you go there for a moment? Pastoring means we care about the condition of your life. And we don't want to see you continue to waddle in the misery and not having the things that you need to fulfill the will of God for your life. Amen. Want to deal with them on the job and in the businesses. Amen. There are certain strategies that only God can make and decisions. There are certain strategies and decisions, that only God can make. And I want us to take a peep at the wisdom of Solomon. Amen. How many business owners are in the house? Stand to your feet, business owner. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Let me see you. Praise God. Look around. Celebrate God. But guess what? That's not enough business owners in the house of God. Go ahead and take a seat. We celebrate the ones that God has spoke to in the secret place, but I come to tell you that God's going to speak to some more of us in our secret places. Mm-hmm. God's going to speak to some more of us, and it's going to be strategic download of plans that we are to implement in the earth realm so that we can bring restoration to some of these corrupt systems, amen, that the enemy has come in. And somebody said, well, how are we going to do that? Somebody say, through the wisdom of God. It's the wisdom of God. So I just want to look at 1 Kings 3 and 7 for a moment. Are you there yet? Say amen. It says, now, Lord my God, you have made me servant king. You have made your servant king in this place of my father David. Listen to this. But I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Anybody felt like that before? Anybody been elevated to a place on your position at work and you thinking, I do not know what in the world I'm supposed to be doing up in here? I've been there, done that. I see you, Spence. He says, your servant is here among the people, the great people, and they're too numerous to count or number. Look at verse 9. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. The Lord was pleased that Solomon asked for this. So God said to him, this is what he says when you ask for wisdom or a discerning heart. He says, since you have asked for this and not long life, or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for discernment in administering justice. He says, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a discerning heart. Verse 13. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime there will be no equal kings among you. And then it says that Solomon awoke and he realized that he had a dream. One of my greatest secret places is in the midst of drifting off to sleep, going into a dream. Because in that place that Solomon says he was dreaming, it was really an encounter of a secret place experience for him. He heard the Lord give him a command. He heard the Lord grant him the desire of his heart and then some more. And then when he came out, he says, I was only dreaming. But it's in these secret places where God will reveal to us what it is our will is for us to accomplish and the desires of our life. So Solomon is in this great secret place with God because everything that God showed him in this secret place, it came to pass the days of Solomon's life. And it comes to pass so to the point where we look at before the chapter closes, Solomon has to make a wise decision where the two prostitutes come to him with a baby. You remember that story? Now dealing with the secret place experience for those that have a job. Any of us have a job? Come on, any of us given tasks or assignments that we don't know how to always fulfill? How about the business owners who sometimes we want to stand out from the other business owners and we want to display the wisdom and the anointing and the power of God so that they will come to us instead of the others? How many of you know Solomon stood out? There was no equal king like him throughout the whole time of Israel. Amen? And so these two prostitutes bring to him a baby at the end of this chapter and says, well, you know, this baby that I have here, they're fighting over it. One prostitute says that I will sleep in the middle of the night with my baby at my breast when she comes in because she laid on her baby and the baby died and she swapped out the babies. So when I woke up, I had the dead baby at my breast and she was nursing my live baby. So they're standing there fussing in front of the king who has asked God for wisdom. Come on, the ability to administer justice. And Solomon, in all of his wisdom, who does this? Solomon says, bring me a sword. So they bring him a sword. He says, now chop the baby in half. And as he prepares to chop the baby in half, the woman who really gave birth to the baby says, no, let the baby live. Because if you chop it in half, neither one of us will get the baby. Let her have the baby. And at that moment, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, realized that the baby belongs to her. Because the other one was going, yeah, chop the baby in half. Give me my half and she'll get her half. And he knew that that was not the heart or the spirit of the real mother. How many of you know when we dwell in this secret place with God, his one decision astonished all of Israel. And they knew that he was a king walking in the wisdom of God, which means Solomon dwelt. He remained in a secret place with God. Only God can give you such wisdom to make decisions that cause you to rise above the rest. Is there anybody ready to just tap into and confess and decree over your life that you need this type of secret place experience 24/7 a day, 24/7? Come on, every day, morning, noon, and night. We make decisions because we operate in our flesh. We live in the flesh. But we, as the people of God and the body of Christ, we are not to operate in our flesh. Our flesh is to be subject to the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us, that will cause us to arise to only the secret places of God where he can reveal strategies, download, insight, and revelation for our life. Anybody in here been struggling? Come on, Michelle, just flow with me. Just flow with me. Because I'm telling you, in this secret place, God will cancel and break every struggle. There's something about the secret place that Paul and Silas was in. Shackled up, locked up in bondage. Come on, in the jail cell. They couldn't even see or fathom a way out. But in the midst of this secret place, they began to sing praises to God. Why praises to God? Because you're not supposed to be praising God when all hell is breaking loose and you're in bondage in certain arenas of your life. You're not supposed to be praising God when you don't have all that you need to accomplish His will in the earth realm. You're not supposed to be praising God when your back is up against the wall and God is calling you to go forward, but you can't seem to move. Stand to your feet. But Paul and Silas began to do two things. Praise team, come on up. They prayed and they sang songs. And at that given moment of praying and singing songs, the shackles, see, they had to be in a secret place with God to even receive the download of what it is that we need to do to cause these shackles to be broken and released off of our hands. I don't know, I'm just hearing something. God has spoken to many of us in our secret place with Him. Mm-hmm. He's told us to go and to do, and we received it. But when we come back into the earth realm, we have been unable to walk out and carry out that assignment that He spoke to us in this secret place. Is that you? Just come up here at this altar. If you feel that there is a struggle to enter into the place in the earth realm that God has revealed to you in the spirit realm. You know that there is a shifting, there is a realignment that must take place. And you've been fighting it. You've been fighting against it instead of going with the flow. There are some great business owners and millionaires in this room that God is desiring to reveal strategies to you. Not many business owners raise their hand, but those of you that are desiring, watch this, to walk into a headship anointing and become your own business owner. Just come to the altar and lift up your hands. See, when I say God is requiring more of Pastor Charlie and myself, I pronounce over this house that God is also requiring more of you. And the first thing that David had to do was he had to acknowledge, Lord, I have sinned against you and I have not carried out your will and your purpose and your desire for my life. But God did not penalize David because of his sin or his delay or his denial to carry out the assignment. What he did is he brought him into a secret place and he elevated his thinking. Just lift your hands. He elevated his thinking. God would not tap you into a house of God that's operating at a level higher than some other churches if He didn't desire to cause you to flow in the things that He is calling you to flow in. Leaders, if you would just embrace behind them. Come on, even with humbled hearts. Yeah, we're not going to jump all into speaking more into your life before you talk to the Spirit of God and say, I desire to dwell in this secret place with you. Oh, how I'm tired of coming in and out, being happy and sad, being jubilant and being depressed. I want to remain. I want to dwell. I want to abide in this secret place with you all the days of my life. I want a continual flow of revelation and insight for my life. I desire this of you, Holy Spirit, and I lift my hands in your presence. Speak to me now. Speak to me now. He's going to speak some things into your spirit. Speak to me now. Somebody in here has been feeling fearful. You've been afraid. God's been speaking, but the spirit, the fear of the unknown Fear of the future has immobilized you. And every time you think about what God is calling you to do, you get fearful. I need you to run up to this altar and break. We're going to break that spirit of fear off your life today. If they came up, I need the leaders to go behind them and just lay your hands on them. Hands lifted all over this altar. Come on, we're going to open up the floodgates of heaven. Go ahead, praise team. Open up the floodgates of heaven. We're going to open up the floodgates of heaven and let it rain. Go with me on open the floodgates of heaven. He's going to rain down revelation. He's going to rain. I'm telling you, you've been dry. You've been dry and stagnant because there has not been the proper spiritual movement. But today there's going to be a fresh outpouring of the rain of God. That come stand in agreement. Open up our minds, Holy Spirit. Open up our minds, Holy Spirit, to hear you. Open up our hearts, Father God, to receive you. Entrepreneurial anointing rest over her. Let it strategic rain. Download in the name of Jesus. Power, power, power from on high. Yeah, he's going to thrust you, Lisa, into some places that you've been desiring him to carry you. Let it rain. Not one book, but you published in many books. You shall publish. You're protected. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, all of the weapons formed against you, that my hand of mercy and grace and protection is over you. I just hear him saying, when you break loose of praise, you're going to feel your deliverance come. Your praise. Not only are your shackles going to be broken, but the shackles of those connected to you are going to be broken.
Let it rain.
Release your praise again, woman of God.
Let it rain.
We break silent frustration. You shall carry out every assignment that God has called you to. I speak to provision.
Let it
shall release men and women of God who will give unto your bosom, and they shall provide for you. They shall give to you. They shall open the door for you to walk in.
It's raining. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining. It's raining.
Lift your hands and receive right now. It's raining.
It's raining.
I feel the rain.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
It's raining.
feel the rain.
I feel the rain.
It's raining down on me. I feel the rain.
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 Through the fire, and you shall come out untouched, unscorched, unburned. Not one hair on your head shall be a result of the fire that you shall go in. The mighty hand of God is over your life. A covering, a shield, a protector for your household. Elevate him to the headship anointing. Cause him to hear and see. Cause him to articulate with power and authority. Hattie, in this secret place, God is going to reveal some things to you that he has not yet shown you. All he's looking for is a heart that's open to receive. The book you've been contemplating and putting together.
It's raining.
I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, go and locate other authors and connect with them. That they will it's make raining. The ease of your book writing. They will bring you hints and clues and strategies and tips that will help benefit you. And that this thing that I'm calling you to do and write is not too difficult for you, Hattie.
It's raining.
I decree ease in the assignment.
It's raining.
Ease in the assignment.
It's raining. It's raining.
Lynn, you've been faithful.
It's raining.
But you've tapped into it's a house raining. That's calling you to a higher place.
It's raining.
Your trials and your tribulations, your tests have perfected your testimony for this season. You're saying, what do I say, Lord? What do I say to the people when they ask or inquire of me?
It's raining.
The Spirit of the Lord says, just tell them your testimony. In it lies the power of God. In it lies my ability to do the supernatural, even in and through the natural.
It's raining.
Just a peace. Just a peace.
It's
raining. Just receive his peace. Come on, you gotta let it loose. You gotta let it loose. Just receive his peace. Peace over your mind.
It's raining.
Rest in this season.
It's raining.
Rest in this place that he's causing you to enter in. Come on, I'm speaking the rain of God over you to bring life and vitality to every arena that has tried to go dormant, Lynn. I'm speaking to these arenas in the spirit realm. Yeah. Go ahead. Let it go. They are about to cause you to die and lose your spiritual strength and stamina. But today is being shifted and realigned, Lynn. There's a shackle that has to be broken. If the house would just pray. You don't know what this woman of God is up against. You're back up against the wall, but we decree. Come on, I'm decreeing the walls of Jericho are falling down through the praise of his people. The walls are being destroyed, Lynn. There's no more restriction. No more limitation. With God, he's going to perfect your imperfections. He's going to build you up and elevate you to a high place of visibility. Men and women of God all over this region will know you by name. They will seek after the ministry gift that rests and lies on the inside of you. This is your season to prosper and advance the will of God in this earth realm. Think it not strange that I set before you and display my glory in your presence. For you know I have anointed you to be a carrier of my glory and to do great exploits in the earth realm. Your prophetic and discerning eye that I have given you to see, to shift and to align and to speak into situations. It shall be released in this season of your ministry, man of God, that even as your eyes are closed and the tears are coming down, that when you arise from this place of anointing, let hit my hand with some oil. That you shall see, as Solomon saw, with the wisdom, with the administration of justice, you shall see good from evil, but you shall direct your people, and there shall not be any fear, but I speak a bold anointing over you, man of God. I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying your foundation is not going to be shaken. It's going to be solid. It's going to be firm. And even as David received the anointing of Samuel on the day that he was behind the scenes doing the work for his father, so shall you this day receive the anointing of God for your life. He's raising you to a high place. And you shall walk in a great level of authority and anointing that only God will show you and reveal to you. Let him go. Let him go. Let him receive. Let him receive. Because when you arise from this place of humility, When you arise from this place of seeking the face of God, pick them up. I shall elevate you, and you shall now rise above the people that I'm calling you to. Spirit of wisdom and spirit of discernment is what I hear the Spirit of the Lord speaking for you. You shall not be afraid to speak. But what will I say to them? The Spirit of the Lord says, say what I command you to say. Just open up your mouth and it shall build them up and it shall edify the people who shall receive you. I speak this to the core of your spirit. Blessed shall be those men that receive you. And blessed shall be the work of their hands. But cursed shall be the men that reject you. For you carry in the word of the Lord. And you shall proclaim the word of the Lord, man of God, as he has instructed you to do so. Whoo, just praise them. Just praise them. They say men can't cry, but we defy that lie of the enemy. Wherever you go, whatever you do, man of God, I just need you to walk, take some steps. Because God is sending you some places. You just need to take some steps and praise God. Where am I going to go? I'm going to go where you send me. What am I going to say? I'm going to say what you called me to say. But today my shackles have been loosed. I'm a new creature. I'm a new man of power. I'm a new man of authority. Every step you take is a step of victory. See, people don't know what he's been through. They ridiculed you. They called you everything but a man of God. But we see something in you because we operate from a higher place. Get connected. I'm telling you, as you step in and you flow with the Spirit of God, you won't stress. You won't strain, and you will not struggle in this season and call of God that's on your life. Coleman, you proving yourself faithful. Coleman, right? You entered into these doors with a spirit of expectation. You entered into these doors looking for something greater and something more. As you have received even this secret place that you shall remain and abide in 24/7, that every desire that you have made to the Lord, he's going to release it to you quickly and in a hurry. You better wait and expect God to do the suddenlies in your life. All of a sudden, he's going to open up the floodgates of heaven. And he's going to rain down the resources that you need to accomplish. You know what I'm saying? Your resources are not lining up with what it is God is speaking to you in your secret place. I see the need for you to sow a seed. What people don't know is every time we want to tap into something great, we find somebody who has already tapped into it ahead of us. And we go and we plant a seed in that individual life or in that vision. I decree that at the planting of the seed, that God is going to release every resource that you need to carry out the assignment that's on your life. Show him now the man, the woman, the business that's flourishing in the will of God. And I'll show you the ground that you ought to sow into, Coleman. That wisdom comes directly from God. And as you adhere to the wisdom of God, you shall tap into the promises of God. I break silent frustration over your life. I break the anxiety and the fear. And I release a man of power and boldness. Come on, that men and women are looking at one thing. They're looking at the exterior. But God says, I only look at the heart. And call Your heart is pure as gold. Get your mind off of what doesn't matter and focus on what really matters, and that's your heart. Your heart is sold out for Christ. And as you sacrifice that seed, God is going to reward you. Are you ready for your reward? Are you ready for your reward? Then praise Him like you know your reward is already there. Praise Him like the reward has already been released. Praise Him like you've already received it. Break you through the spiritual womb and into your destiny. Praise Him, Coleman.
Yes.
Praise Him. They say men can't praise Him.
Yes.
Divine provision and protection. Jesus, the anointing. The anointing that's on your life is so strong that the enemy has tried to delay and deny you of your promises. But God's hand of mercy and protection is all over you. The heat and the pressure that you're feeling is the pressure of the anointing of God. But His hand is overshadowing you, and you won't feel the pressure. You'll only carry out the assignment. Graced and anointed. I speak over you that even what you have seen and admired in this house, it rests upon you. It's on you. You've been on the outside looking in, but now God is causing you to operate from the inside out. You're no longer on the outside looking in. You are on the inside looking out. You are no longer on the outside looking in. You are a leader on the inside working your way out. And this ministry, the harvest of souls that we are in need of, are gonna come into this place through and by you.